news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison. And as you know, we are right in the middle of state convention season, and we've been updating you on many of them over the past several weeks. So we begin today by checking in with Channel 3000 News 3 Now in Madison, Wisconsin, who checked in with a few of the state officers ahead of their big event.
The Wisconsin Association of FFA is made up of over 20,000 members and 250 chapters. The Wisconsin State FFA Convention is a big coming together for them. They're celebrating the convention's 90th year. How about that?
That's where we find our Madeline O'Neill. Well, it's a big year for the convention. It's in its 90th year. Members are also celebrating 50 years that women have been among the ranks. We're joined by Amelia Hayden, State FFA President. Thanks for coming in today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here.
Of course. So tell me, what makes this year so special?
So this is not only our 90th year of FFA in Wisconsin, but the 50 years in women in FFA, like you've mentioned. So over the past few years, we've seen women and men have about equal percentages of FFA membership, and women actually make up more than 50% of all state leadership positions like the one I'm in as a state officer. Wow. So it's been really cool to see that growth, and we're excited to be celebrating that with members across the state.
That's awesome. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about the convention in general. What is your goal here?
Mm-hmm. So throughout the convention, there's a lot of different opportunities for members. Behind us, we have the session hall where we'll be giving out awards and celebrating member accomplishments. We also have about 30 different contests that are running, with over 200 judges volunteering at those. And so students will be practicing their public speaking skills, their leadership skills, and agricultural knowledge as well.
Are there any sessions you're particularly excited about or events?
I'm excited for them all. Some of the events that are really cool that we have here: we have an agri-science fair where students are designing their own research projects. We also have a variety of different supervised agricultural experience awards. So those are hands-on learning experiences that students get outside of the classroom that are part of their FFA involvement.
And I know you mentioned membership numbers are strong. There's a lot of enthusiasm still, despite the kind of trying times in this industry. With issues such as low milk prices in the industry, some farms have had a hard time staying afloat, especially smaller farms. But that's forcing the industry to change. And one thing that's always changing is technology. We've got State FFA Treasurer Mitchell Schrupfer here with us. That's something he's interested in. So what does agriculture technology look like?
Yes, absolutely. So like we talk about those challenges that agriculture is facing, a lot of us tend to see the bad sides, but here within FFA, we see those as opportunities. And so as agriculturalists and interested in bettering the future, we have to really embrace that technology. And so some of the things that we're embracing, even at the national level, we just celebrated our first year, inaugural year, with the Blue Room, which we brought in different agricultural companies that put together a display of all the technology that they're working on. And it was amazing to see just how far we've come from back in the 1940s and the even earlier before that, when labor was done mostly by hand. Within Wisconsin, we're very excited. We have proficiency awards like design and fabrication for the agricultural placement, which students are actually creating their own implements and different equipment that they're able to use within farm applications.
So are there any job opportunities or cool opportunities that come with technology that's, you know, rapidly developing?
Yes, absolutely. We're always focused on developing those career skills. Mm-hmm. Different things that I've learned about would be like precision agriculture. So we're getting exact within inches of GPS coordinates for application for different crops and making sure that each plant gets the nutrients that they need to produce the most crops for our people so we can feed the world.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Mitchell. Josh and Leah.
Maddie, thank you. Wow, I feel like the future of farming is in good hands if these kids are involved.
Yes,
for sure.
Really impressive.
Absolutely.
Kids.
Well, now we head to the Sooner State, where during their own convention, Oklahoma Ford Dealers and Oklahoma Farm Bureau caught up with a few members as well as a former state president to find out why they love this empowering organization.
Why did you choose to engage in FFA?
Because my sisters did it, and they always seemed like they would have fun at like coming to the state convention, and all my friends wanted me to do it, so I joined it.
It helps with leadership and people skills.
I've learned leadership skills and met forever friends and have a family forever in the FFA.
So how specifically do you think that FFA is preparing you to be a leader in the future?
We get put in tough situations like being in speaking contests, and it gets you over the fear of talking to people, in public because most people are scared of that. And meeting random people at alumni camp and being family with them in 3 days teaches us a lot.
We love the FFA!
I'm Travis Knifeman, a fifth-generation farmer from Garber. My entire life, I've been involved in agriculture. The FFA has been instrumental in providing a foundation for gaining confidence, communication skills, and a business mindset. It has also blessed me with relationships that have been lifelong. I've seen firsthand how Oklahoma FFA prepares leaders that agriculture needs. Now I'm proud to continue advocating for rural Oklahoma as a Farm Bureau member. Together, Farm Bureau members give a voice to farmers, ranchers, and our rural communities. Just like FFA members believe in the future of agriculture, Farm Bureau members work to ensure a future for rural Oklahoma. Together we help preserve and protect our rural way of life, because agriculture is worth fighting for. I'm Travis Knifeman, a fifth generation farmer, past Oklahoma FFA state president, and a Farm Bureau member. Together, we are Rural Oklahoma.
Well, certainly a great appreciation for FFA in Oklahoma. And heading east, they love the FFA as well in Ohio. That's where the Ohio Corn and Wheat talk to alumni and educators about the value of FFA and what it brings to their state.
The FFA, for nearly 100 years, has been preparing young people for careers in agriculture. Of course, 100 years ago, that was to be a farmer. Now that looks different.
You know, the motto is learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, living to serve, and I think that's still prevalent today.
It's all the soft skills that FFA prepares students for that has really benefited me, and it's something that you carry on for the rest of your life, really.
We talk about what the future of agriculture is going to be and how we as students who are majoring in an agricultural degree can influence and impact that.
There are so many ways that the agriculture industry needs served and the people in that industry need served.
What a farmer does on the farm is made possible through many different support areas around the agricultural industry.
I think it's so neat when we think about organizations like FFA who are taking young people and preparing them with those skills, who could then utilize those skills in organizations like Ohio Corn and Wheat, other commodity groups and member organizations to really advance the industry.
What FFA taught me is what I'm using at Ohio Corn and Wheat now, learning how to talk to people, learning that I always have to be a sponge for agricultural knowledge, and just knowing that someone has to stand up for agriculture, and why can't it be me?
Well, stay tuned. We'll meet a very accomplished alumni looking to bridge the gap between history and modern agriculture ahead on Rural Radio. Well, thanks for tuning in. And now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Dr. Richard Sherman, an alumni from the 1960s, who says that the skills he learned decades ago in the FFA continue to contribute to his success even today.
Dick, thank you so much for coming on and joining me today.
You bet, Matt. Happy to oblige.
All right. Well, I wanted to tell you before we got started that I really enjoyed your presentation last week. I thought it was really great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, anytime you're looking at Van Gogh and Monet and the rest of them, yeah, it's an entertaining adventure to see how it all relates to farming.
That's true. Well, and I'd never thought of it that way, or even considered that until I watched your presentation. And I thought, you know, artwork used to just be about royalty, and then all of a sudden it shifted.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of very informed people in the art world that go far beyond my elementary art experience. You know, they have lived their life in urban settings, and they've studied about other important artistic attributes of a lot of the artists that were featured in the study. But you know, a lot of them probably don't have rural experience, and having that, I do think adds a dimension to our interpretation of a lot of those works. So,
sure.
I've had great interest following that up as best I can.
Sure. Well, let's do this. If you would just take a moment and introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us what you do now and how you're involved in agriculture, and then we'll talk about your history and how you grew up after that. Okay.
Sure. You bet. My name's Dick Richard Shireman, and I presently serve as the director of the Franklin County Historical Society Museum over here in Pasco in the Tri-Cities, southeastern Washington. Prior to that, I had a 35-year career in education. I was a public school teacher and administrator for 20-some years here in Washington, and then went on to direct the master's in teaching program at Seattle Pacific University, and did that for about 10 years, and then shifted gears about 3 years ago, kind of moved into semi-retirement here. Our children had clustered here in the Tri-City area, so it looked to be a good place for Grandma and Grandpa to settle, and picked up an opportunity here working with the museum, and have really enjoyed doing that since.
Very good. Well, tell us about how you grew up.
Yeah, I'm a farm kid from the Palouse country, Matt. So was raised on a very small farm, half section between the rural communities of Endicott and St. John there in the rolling hills of eastern Washington. And so, you know, when you're raised in places like that and you spend your time doing all kinds of chores out in the field year round. So it was a very enriching experience to me that I could spend a lot of time with family and community elders while growing up in, you know, one of the most scenic parts of the world.
Now, I interview a lot of FFA students on my show, and what I learned about you is that you've got a history in the FFA as well.
Oh, yes. The FFA was very instrumental in my youth and forming my interests in agriculture and beyond agriculture, really establishing a foundation through agriculture for all kinds of other pursuits academically and in terms of public interest and advocacy. I was active in FFA throughout my high school years, joined as a freshman, was a green hand, and was very blessed to have an innovative, progressive teacher, Dan Bertzel, who went on after his Endicott years to head the FFA program at Deer Park. And he got me very active in parliamentary procedure and public speaking, things that at that time, honestly, I kind of had to be pulled tooth and nail. I was not comfortable standing up in front of large groups and doing things like that. And bless his heart, Mr. B, as we called him, compelled us to do things like that. I wound up actually winning the state speaking contest as a sophomore at WSU, a very memorable event at Bryan Hall. I still think of that every time I go into that cavernous place. And then continued on, went to two national conventions in Kansas City. Was always interested in crops and animals and in those events at the national. I also, they have the national band, the national choir. I sang in that for 2 years and had a great time. Saw, the president would come and other celebrities, and I was interested in the space program, in the 60s. And here comes Deke Slayton, one of the original Mercury astronauts to speak at the FFA convention. And just getting on a train and going halfway across the country, I mean, that's a big adventure for a poor farm kid from the Palouse country.
Well, you're still able to link, I guess, some of what you learned and some of the skills you developed in FFA to what you do today.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would have in any way gone these directions without that kind of solid foundation of FFA experience. Of course, later on, as I've shared, I went on into education and I wound up directing a teacher ed there at Seattle Pacific and, working with hundreds of teachers over the years. And many times I recall telling them about some of those experiences and the fact that, if I ask somebody to, raise their hand because they found whatever sophomore algebra just so incredibly wonderfully memorable. We have a lot of great high school math teachers and I salute them. But when most folks are asked about what really stands out in their mind about being influential in those formative years, it's the experiential activities. It's the kind of camaraderie and project-based learning that FFA made possible. And that was certainly the case in my life. I can think back of many of those events, not just trips to national, but to the state convention and chapter events and, the responsibilities that were imparted because of our livestock projects. I raised sheep and, you know, just did all these things, going to crop judging events where I did not do very well, I will tell you. But those were, you know, those really stand out in my mind and the minds of young people I grew up with, who now in my later years, you know, share that appreciation for the FFA.
And what years were you involved? When did you graduate high school?
I graduated in 1969 and then went direct to WSU. I was there for my 4 years. I wanted to get my money's worth, so I had, it was a double history, a double major and a double minor, and then went on to the Air Force and was a Russian interpreter in my time in the Air Force.
Okay, wow. Well, thank you for coming on. If anybody out there wanted to know more, they wanted to see any of your books or come to your museum, anything like that, where would they go to get more information?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking, Matthew. It's been an honor to be with you here for this. We're located at the Franklin County Historical Society Museum in Pasco, so if you just Google Franklin County Historical Society Pasco, that'll pop up, and there's information about the museum. There's lots of Franklin counties in America, so be sure you come to the one here in Washington. And then I have a blog that I periodically contribute to, and that's at PalouseColony.com, all one word. And there's further information there that I hope you might find useful, your listeners.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today and coming on and sharing this with all of us.
Yeah, well, thanks again, Matt. Hope our paths might cross again soon.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks as always to Matt for another outstanding interview. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll hear how the advisors in a small Georgia town are touching students' lives forever next on FFA Today. Well, welcome back to the show. And finally today, we head to Tiger, Georgia. That's where members of the local FFA chapter at Rabun County High School pay tribute to two of their beloved advisors, Mr. Brown and Mr. Parker.
Mr. Brown, thank you so much for urging me to get more involved in this program. I know my life would be a lot different had you not urged me to participate in a CDE or even just run for a chapter office. You really have changed my life, and I want to thank you for that.
Mr. Brown, thank you for always being there for me since my sixth grade year to now. Whether it be pushing me to compete for an area office or even competing something as small as a CDE, I just want to say thank you.
Mr. Parker, you always find a way to push me outside of my comfort zone, whether it be welding or lawnmower driving, and I'm so grateful for it. I know I can always count on you to give me a push in the right direction and to keep me in line.
Mr. Parker, thank you for showing me that there's a time for fun and there's a time for work. Just like sessions at the state convention that we attended this year, or kayaking on a lake in Athens for officer training. I just want to say thank you.
Without seeing the work that both of y'all put in and out of the classroom for this organization, we as officers would not be as motivated to do what we do.
Without your hard work, dedication, and strength to our chapter, the Rabun County FFA chapter would not be where it's at today. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, for always giving me a chance in any new thing that I wanted to do. You got me into the livestock team and basically told me that I could go places with it. Thank you to Mr. Parker. You've showed me how to get into the career of welding. You've taught me everything I needed to know in high school about it. You've helped me with my cow livestock project.
Mr. Parker, you've always meant a lot to me, and you got me into FFA and helped me get me out there and into the world. And I just want to thank you for that. It's meant a lot that I've been able to grow as you've grown as a teacher, and that I've been able to get to know you and Mr. Brown just alike. And Mr. Brown, I want to thank you so much for getting me into wildlife management and showing me what I want to do for the rest of my life and helping get my head together even whenever I goof off all the time. I just want to thank you guys for everything you've done for me.
Mr. Brown, for 3 years now, I have been in your class, and to be honest, it's been a time of my life, I tell you that much. I even remember to the first day that you put me in FFA and all of a sudden this plant science and all that. And I do appreciate you kind of cheering me up and kind of telling me it's all be all right and all that. And another thing I want to say is, not gonna lie, you, Mr. Parker, and everybody else in the FFA officers are kind of like a family, and I really appreciate it, especially also Mr. Parker, who I have this class for this year. I actually really do enjoy it. And not only that, he taught me how to, you know, how to use a push him up, you know, a four-wheel driving lawnmower, which, not gonna lie, is an experience of itself, and welding and electrical. But you two have really shown me, as I say, yeah, I really appreciate it.
Hey everyone, this is Colin. Of course, y'all probably know me by now since I think we're doing this at the end of the banquet. But I just wanted to take a second and recognize Mr. Parker and Mr. Brown. They've been great mentors to me, leading me through my high school career and encouraged me to go on to ABAC and become an agriculture education teacher. I'm just super excited to say that I actually had two teachers that we had full 4 years and coming in with Miss Deals now, which is pretty exciting for the middle schoolers. It's really gonna help our FFA program. I just wanna put a special thank you in for Mr. Parker since I am his last first officer. I feel like I'm a little bit more emotional this year than I have been the years before. But I know I'm probably gonna be crying by now, but I'm excited to see my next chapter in life, and I thank them for getting me ready for it.
These two individuals are the best agriculture teachers I think that you could probably ever find. They work tirelessly. They give 140% of themselves every single day, and they do it all with a smile on their face, and that goes unnoticed a lot, and I would just like to take a second to thank them for all the stuff that they do for us. Special thanks to Mr. Brown especially, because he was my first class, my basic ag class, and he's the one that pushed me to run for an officer position because he saw some kind of potential in me in his classroom, and I became an officer then, and I've been an officer for 2 years now, and I don't regret anything I've ever done. Another thanks to Mr. Parker. Mr. Parker is my discussion meet guy. He's also, any trip that we ever take, me and Mr. Parker are talking about literally anything you can possibly think about. We have great relationships with our teachers, and we just want to thank them for that. This year, I'm graduating not only from school, but FFA. I don't think I'm going to know what to do.
Yeah, well, we're kind of dumbfounded when it comes to it.
It's pretty weird to think about life without a weekly meeting, or life without a banquet to look forward to at the end of the year.
No officer retreats.
No officer retreats, no leadership camps, no more competitions, no more SAEs that we're graded on every year. It's just...
No more showing livestock. That's going to be a big one.
And that's for you, yeah. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I know they're selling all the goats now, and it's like...
I want one. Mr. Parker, Mr. Brown, I'd just like to let you know that of all the people in this world, I speak for the whole chapter when I say that we love you.
Thank you.
Well, very well said. Well, on that note, we'll wrap up this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program, a tribute of your own, or an idea for something you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Send us an email at FFAToday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.